Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We had a little hiccup there. We're back on and we're ready to go, Jess. We had some internet connections, but we're
10-8.
Yep, 10-8.
On duty.
Sometimes the evil one doesn't want this program to go live, and I think he puts a little monkey wrench in things.
Without a doubt. Reuben, Father Edward Broom, he's a priest out there in the Diocese of L.A. in your neck of the woods.
I know who
and
he is.
He's a very good priest. He's from a religious order called the Oblates of the Virgin Mary.
Yes.
He gives 10 ways to prepare for a happy and a holy death. And again, none of us know when we're going to die. In fact, imagine how many people that you know that passed away in 2020 that you never thought that they never thought it would be their last year here on planet Earth.
Yeah.
And how many people will pass away in 2021? Could be any one of us. And so I think these are very helpful suggestions that we should put in our war bag, in our toolbox, in our lunch pail, and remember these and apply these into our life every single day. It's called 10 Ways to Prepare for a Happy and a Holy Death. The first one, Father Broom says, is live each day of your life as if it were your last day. Mm-hmm. Indeed, it could be, because our Lord Jesus Christ warned us, He will come like a thief in the night, so be prepared.
Exactly, Justin. But you remember the Matthew 24:36 says, but of that day and hour, no one knoweth, not the angels of heaven, not the Father alone. So no one knows when the last day is coming. Sometimes you got these people who think they're prophets, and they're saying, oh, prophets of doom. It's going down in the year 2000 into the world. But we have to be ready all the time.
I'll tell you why it's important to be ready as well. I'm looking here at a scientific website. It says every second, 1.8 human beings die. Okay, so that's every second, tick, tick, tick. 1.8 wow. Human beings die. So what's the point that I'm saying is that time waits for no man, Reuben?
Well, when Our Lady opened up the hell to the children, they saw people falling in like snowflakes. You know, so people...
which means a lot.
Yeah.
Snowflakes. When you see snowflakes falling down, Reuben, in the winter somewhere, it's coming down by the tens of millions.
Yeah.
Okay? It just carpets an area. So it's not like, oh, one or two people fell into hell in 1917. No, snowflakes, that indicates a multitude.
Yeah, and we know most people go to hell. Our Lord said it, the road is narrow, right?
He said it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Every time he spoke about salvation, that's what he said.
Yep. Second point says no to sin, yes to God. Sin leads to sadness, slavery, and death. Let us renounce sin at all costs and turn to God who gives life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And, you know, so we have to repent and turn away from sin. Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And, you know, say 1 Peter 2:24 says he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed.
So, Reuben, that phrase that you just mentioned, say no to sin and yes to God, that's also attributed to Saint Dominic Savio, that phrase. And also somebody who used to repeat it quite often, he just passed away a few years ago, is Father Gabriel Amorth. He was the Roman exorcist for 29 years. Mm. That was something that he used to tell all the people in his lectures that when he used to teach. He used to say, tell the people, to say no to sin and yes to God. He goes, that way you avoid, obsession, oppression, possession. And if you say yes to God and you're living in a state of grace, you have nothing to worry about. So that was a favorite phrase of Father Gabriel Amorth, rest in peace.
That's right.
Number three, do what you are doing. This is the key concept of the saints. It means to live the sacrament of the present moment and always strive to do your duty and obligation with the best of intentions, meaning for the honor and glory of God. Another way of saying this is, how do you become holy? You become holy in your state in life. State in life means if you're a married man, if you're a single man, if you're a priest, whatever you are, okay? God has called you, where you're at right now, to be holy where you're at right now, doing everything with charity, doing everything out of a heart full of love, and doing it with the best of intentions. That's how you're getting holy. Some people are getting holy right now changing diapers. Some people are getting holy right now, you know, being trash truck drivers. Some people are getting holy right now being, you know, dentists. Every Catholic is called to be holy where God has put them at. Mm-hmm. That's called in your state in life.
That's right. And with your morning offering, you give everything to God. Everything that you're doing, your pain, your sufferings, you know, everything, your joy. And the fourth point is fall. Can we and get up again? So if you fall, you get up again. If you fall into sin, which will happen because we are all sinners, then get up right away. Never put off your conversation for tomorrow. Rather, move on your conversation immediately.
Conversion, Ruben.
Before the sun goes down. Do not stay. So my point is that do not stay in mortal sin. You know, most people die the way they live. If you're carrying on week after week with mortal sin, you know, chances are good that you're gonna die just the way you're living. So keep that.
Yeah,
on.
In fact, that's what the church fathers actually say, Ruben.
Yeah.
The great minds, they say, as so a man lives, so he shall die. Saint Augustine, Saint Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, every one of us, just the way you live every day, it's already quite evident what path you're leading to. And so, again, the Christian life is simple. Do your duty in your state in life until the Lord calls you to his judgment, because whatever we do in this life is going to echo for eternity. Point number five, aim always for the greatest of all virtues, love. Jesus clearly tells us what the greatest of all commandments, and it is a double commandment. To love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But the second part is to love our neighbor intensely as we love ourselves. With reference to a holy death, St. John of the Cross, doctor of mystical theology and prayer, he teaches us, quote, in the twilight of our existence, we will be judged on love, close quote. Mm. So let us aim for a more intense and burning love every day. Like the Virgin Mary, let us die of love.
That's good.
That's a sobering thought, Ruben. John of the Cross, I mean, I've thought about that for years. You know, at the end of our life or in the twilight of our life, we will be judged on love. We're not going to be judged on faith or hope. Those things will be gone. We're going to be judged on love. And look at, if you want to see what we're talking about, read Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46.
Mm-hmm.
Corporal and spiritual works of mercy are basically the litmus test that God is going to use if we had a heart full of love.
Yeah, I've heard it said that the opposite of love is sin. So when we're sinning, we're not loving. So we need to love more. Sixth point, bring others to heaven. Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen gives us great advice on how to get to heaven. If you want to get to heaven, then take somebody to heaven with you. Jesus says, mm-hmm. By their fruits, they will be known. Our desire should be to love what God loves, and God loves the salvation and immortal souls. Hopefully this will be our ardent and all-consuming desire. And as Archbishop Fulton Sheen used to say, he was known to say that if you're not saving souls for Christ, you're not living. And we know in James 5, 19 to 20, you know, my brethren, if any of you err from the truth and one convert him, he must know that he who causes a sinner to be converted from the error of his ways shall save his soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. So we're in the business. It's our job. It's our duty to get people to heaven.
That's right. And in fact, that's the greatest job of the church. When you read canon law, even the new code, mm-hmm. 1752, it says that the highest responsibility of the Catholic Church is the salvation of souls. And as Catholics, remember, we're like on a big boat. This boat is it's on its way to heaven, the bark of Peter. And we're on the boat, and what we're called to do is, there's people all around this boat that are drowning in shark-infested waters. We're called to share our faith, witness to them, pray for them. And when you do that, it's like throwing, a lifesaver, a plastic lifesaver over the side of the ship and hauling these people that are swimming in shark-infested waters onto the boat. That's what you're doing when you're sharing your faith in Jesus Christ.
And Jess, what if people infiltrate that boat? Are we allowed to throw them overboard?
I think Jesus answers that question, yeah. Ruben. He says, and again, in Matthew 25, at the end of time, I'm going to send my angels to kick some serious butt, and he's going to separate the weeds from the wheat,
mm-hmm.
The goats from the sheep. So Jesus says, but for right now, let them coexist side by side. But when I come, it's going to be harvest time.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I mean, we're definitely called to identify them. And we're called to, the Bible says, even in the book of Titus, you know, rebuke somebody that's in heresy. Jesus Christ is going to do some serious separating. And let's just make sure that we're on the right side of the team when he comes back or when we drop dead.
All right. When we come back, we're going to finish up this segment, talking about how to die a good death, happy death. We'll be right back on Jesus 911.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back. We are the LASD, Love and Sacrifice Daily, so that we can leave all sin destroyed. LASD.
That's right.
Jesse, we're on point number 7 on...
Ruben, let me mention something about heretic, because you said it's in the Bible, the word heretic. It's in Titus chapter 3, verse 10. It says, warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
The Greek word for divisive is heretic.
Yeah, that's
so the word is in Scripture.
Yeah, I think that's Matthew, right?
That was Titus chapter 3, verse 10.
Oh, okay, but I think it's also in the Gospel, something like that, similar.
Probably, yeah. Okay, point number 7. Think of heaven. Of enormous value in attaining a holy and happy death is the constant thought of gaining heaven, but also the meditation on actually what heaven is. St. Paul gives us a mere glimpse with these inspiring words, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the mind of man, the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. Close quote. Do this. Think about heaven. Think of the happiest 2 hours of your life and multiply that by a million times over and then add eternity to it, meaning forever and ever and ever. And you'll have a mere glimpse of the glory of heaven that awaits you.
That's right.
That's a good way of putting it.
That's right, Jess. I think we have...
Let me repeat that again, that one sentence, okay? Think of the happiest 2 hours of your life. Multiply that by a million times and then add eternity to it, meaning forever and ever. And you have a mere taste or mere glimpse of the glory of heaven that awaits you. Go ahead.
So I was going to say that we need to desire heaven. We have to, yeah. You know, when I'm doing my Glorious Mysteries on the second one, the Ascension in Heaven, I ask for that desire to get to heaven. You know, because I think many people don't really look forward to heaven. They're excited at the prospect. They're not excited at the prospect of dying and going to heaven. They're eager for it, but they think that's better than the alternative, and they would rather go to heaven than hell. But they're not moved at the prospect of heaven. They just don't have passions for heaven. So we need to ask ourselves, do we have the passion, you know, and do we have the passion of hope? Because that's the question. Do we passionately long for heaven? What prevents you from longing for heaven? So
I think worldliness, I think a lot of people, Catholics included, that are just stuck on worldliness, just the here and now, just the temporal, I think that's kind of what basically chokes off their desire for heaven, is this worldliness. I mean, and the book of James talks about that. That's why he says to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God, because it's worldliness and the little titillating pleasures of worldliness, I think that chokes off the desire for heaven in most people, Ruben.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody wants to go, but nobody wants to die, huh? All right.
Yep.
Point number 8, tell Jesus what you want. From the depths of your heart, talk to Jesus and express to him the greatest desire of your heart. And it is this, that you want to grow to love him more and more each day, but that you want to love him in heaven for all eternity. Tell Jesus this, but remind him every day. Ask your guardian angel to come to your aid. And like I saw in Mark 1:51, and Jesus answering said to him, what will thou that I should do thee? And the blind man said, Rabboni, that I may see. So that That blind man was told Jesus exactly what he wanted, that I may see, and Jesus healed him.
Wow, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Point number 9, purgatory and suffering. Why not ask the Lord to give you your purgatory here while on earth? It is so true, the saying, pay now or pay later. Indeed, much better to pay here while on earth than to pay in the fires of purgatory after we die. How can this become a reality? Simple but hard at the same time. We all have to suffer, and in many ways, physically, emotionally, economically, many of us socially and spiritually. Why not offer your suffering for the conversion of sinners, the purification of the souls in purgatory, but also that this suffering on earth would serve to be your purgatory on earth to allow you to go quickly to heaven?
Yeah.
Many of us never thought of this, but God does not want us to go to purgatory. Rather, he wants us to go straight and directly to heaven nonstop. Let's be honest. Heaven is closed not due to bad will on the part of God, but due to our own pride, selfishness, egotism, and resistance of God's grace. Why not beg to correspond to God's graces and accept your sufferings in this life so as to be united with God immediately upon death, which means eternal life? And the way you do that is, like Reuben just said a little bit earlier, we have to start off our day. When you wake up in the morning, offer your day to God. In the Catholic faith, we call this a morning offering. And there's different versions of them. I pray like 4 different versions every morning. So I offer my pains, joys, sufferings, and good works to God every single morning and to Our Lady. So I offer them to Jesus and to Mary every morning. So whatever suffering I'm going to go through throughout the day or inconveniences, I'm already offering those things to satisfy the debt of justice that I'm going to owe God in purgatory. Reuben?
Yeah. You know, I pulled up Dr. Taylor Marshall. He wrote an article for Lent. It's the top 10 Bible verses on penance. And a couple of the top two or three that he puts out, it's pretty good. Because we're called to do penance. It says, Luke 13:3 says, I say to you, but unless you shall do penance, you shall all likewise perish. You know, Job 42:6, therefore I reprehend myself and do penance in dust and ashes. And the one I like here is Ecclesiastes 2:22. If we do not penance, we shall fall into the hands of the Lord and not into the hands of men. If we do not penance. So it's like Jesse was saying, my priest used to always say that, ask for sufferings now in this lifetime so that you won't have to do them in the next. You know, you go straight to heaven.
Yeah, and that's important. Some of the other Bible translations will say, just some people are saying, wait, that doesn't say that in my Bible. It'll say, do acts befitting of your repentance, which means the same thing. So if you get another, like a modern Bible, and it says those verses that Reuben just quoted, it'll say, do acts befitting of your repentance. It means the same thing. That's what penance means. Mm-hmm. Penance means that you're repenting for your sins and you're doing things to make reparation for those sins and atonement.
And you know, our separated brethren will say, this, you Catholics are incorrect. There's no way. You don't need to do works. You don't have to do anything else. Jesus did everything for you on the cross. And that's just not, I mean, we do know that Jesus did everything, but he still asked for our cooperation. We still have to do our part.
Yeah, that's an important point, Reuben. St. Augustine says, Jesus Christ, you know, he did his part perfectly. He suffered, died for our sins, and hung on a cross on Calvary and made atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. Mm-hmm. But what does he want from us now? What our Lord wants, he wants us to enter into his life, death, and resurrection. In other words, that's what the whole theology of the Holy Eucharist is, that we offer ourselves to God as well as the second person of the Trinity is offering himself at the hands of the priest to God the Father. And as we offer ourselves to God, that's why St. Paul says off in Romans 12:2, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what the theology of the Mass is for the layperson. We're offering ourselves to God along with Jesus Christ because we're the mystical body of Christ. And in so doing, our works take on merit, become meritorious.
Okay, yep. The 10th point, Jesse, it's Mary, Queen of the Saints and Angels. The saints all agree on this spiritual maxim. Mary is the quickest, most secure, and the most efficacious pathway to Jesus and to heaven. Why not turn right now to Mary and beg for the grace to go to heaven? Ask Mary in prayer what is the major obstacle in your life that is blocking your free access to Jesus in heaven. Then beg Our Lady for the grace to overcome that obstacle or spiritual detour on the highway to heaven. So we have access to the Blessed Mother, the Queen Mother, you know, the Gabira, the one, you know, Saint, well, I think it's 2 Samuel, where, you know, Bathsheba was asked to go in to speak to Solomon, the king. He says that her other son says that, you know, he can't deny you. So Mary is not going to be denied by Jesus, because first of all, she's not going to ask him anything contrary to his will, because their wills are united.
Exactly.
Right. So that's
And again, Ruben, that point about Bathsheba and Solomon is a perfect point, because Solomon and Bathsheba are sinners, but yet they're types of Christ and Our Lady. They're a type of. So Our Lord and Our Lady are the anti-type. That means they're the perfection of Solomon and Bathsheba, because they're sinless. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine if King Solomon would tell Queen Bathsheba, "Mom, whatever you ask me, no problem, I'm going to do it." And that's one sinner saying it to another sinner. How much more would the sinless Son of God say and mean that to his mother, the sinless, you know, masterpiece of God's creation? Basically, the words of Solomon would be found in the words of Jesus's mouth. Because Jesus is one greater than Solomon, as the Bible says, and our Lord would say to Our Lady as well, one sinner, sinless person to another sinless person, "Mom, you know, whatever you ask, I will do."
That's true. I think
it's just biblical, Reuben. Yeah. You just got to follow the lineage of Jesus Christ through the Davidic kings, and this is what Jesus would have done. Mm-hmm. It's just thoroughly biblical.
Yeah. Absolutely, Jess. So bottom line is that, you know, we should be deliberately crafting images that will help us desire heaven, you know, which is hope, the desire for striving after, you know, after heaven. That's what we're all called to. And so you live your life in such a way that, you know, people say that on your tombstone, you're going to have a date of birth and a date of death. And that dash in between, what do you want that to say? You know, that's your life. So, put your life together and live it the way you would want people to talk to you about after you die. So,
Reuben, you know what? There's a song that actually, I know it's a profane song, but again, the point's well taken. Yeah, that song, "Stairway to Heaven," I think is by Led Zeppelin.
Right.
Okay. That is true in part. I'll tell you why. Because God showed us how the angels came up and down from heaven in Jacob's ladder in Genesis 28, verse 10 to 12. I think that may have inspired Led Zeppelin to write "Stairway to Heaven," my opinion.
All right. Be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. And Jesse, I've got some, I'm a little giddy right now. I got a text from one of our listeners. They said they just released this. So the first domino has fallen, and so it begins. Pennsylvania just declared that their election cannot be certified, as they have over 210,000 fraudulent ballots for Biden only. They just came out and made an announcement that their election was certified illegally and that Biden did not win the state of Pennsylvania. So these other states start, you know, following suit. You know, Trump could find his way being inaugurated on the 20th. So,
wow, that is such good news, Reuben. You just gave everybody just an incredible New Year's gift. And by the way, you know, happy New Year's Eve to everybody out there. And we want to give you some New Year's resolutions and give you also some words from our heart. But Reuben, that is excellent news. Last night I was here at the state capitol, probably about 2,000 of us here in Arizona.
Yeah.
We were praying last night around the state capitol and listening to different people who are very involved in this, in the actual investigation. So they were just giving us updates and stuff. And like you said, there is a pathway, and they were waiting to see what would happen this morning in Pennsylvania. Last night, they were talking about it at the rally here in downtown Phoenix. So this is big news. So I'm sure I'm going to be getting a bunch of texts any second now regarding what you just said. But let's give people reasons for hope, Ruben, and let's give them some call to action items. Number one, let's pray for peace.
That's right.
Let's keep praying for peace. That's in the Bible. Psalm 122, verse 6, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Okay, and the new Jerusalem is the Catholic Church. Pray for peace within our children, within our grandchildren, within our neighborhoods, at our home, in our parish. Pray for peace every single day. Ruben?
Yeah. Second, you should, you know, since you're a Catholic, you need to obey the Queen of Peace and Our Lady of Fatima, you know. So vow to pray the Holy Rosary for peace every day. And Jesus will heal us as we change our sinful ways.
Exactly. You can't be praying the rosary every day and not be changed.
Yeah.
In fact, I've heard several exorcists, Father Ripperger being one of them. He says, I haven't found one person who meditates daily on the rosary as habitually, you know, for years and years, that's been possessed. He goes, all the cases that I've ever had in 14 years, he says, I don't get daily rosary meditators coming in for exorcism. Point number three. If I am a follower of the Prince of Peace, Jesus, then I will attend Holy Mass every Sunday and Holy Days of Obligation and receive the Holy Eucharist in the state of grace. I will go to the Sacrament of Confession frequently. And let's remember, regardless of what the USCCB may have said about the Mass, agreeing with the government, if the Mass is not essential to them, they're going to stand before Jesus one day and they're going to render an account for that heresy and blasphemy. For us as Catholics, the Mass is essential, so let's get busy. Ruben?
That's right, Jesse. And point number four, I will read at least one chapter of a Catholic Holy Bible every day. And I've been doing that. I read the Douay Rheims. I've been reading like at least two chapters, and then I read my devotionals. And
Which is all Scripture.
Yeah.
The devotionals are all Scripture.
Yeah.
Basically.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Okay, point number five. I will get involved in the pro-life movement in my parish and diocese. I will help others to pray with their children and their families and their friends so that we may defeat the culture of death peacefully through the power of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, which always works when all else fails. And Jesus told us to pray deliverance prayers in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. He says about demons, quote, but this kind cannot be cast out except by prayer and fasting. And by the way, Jesus gave us the ultimate deliverance prayer. It's called the Our Father, which ends with, Sed liberanos a malo, deliver us from the evil one.
That's right. Sixth point, I will read holy books and I will stop reading trash novels, magazines, and other secular publications that waste my time in useless entertainment. I will read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, especially the section on prayer, paragraphs 2558 to 2865.
Yeah, Ruben, a lot of people, St. Dominic Savio says that a lot of people end up going to hell as a result of reading bad books. I mean, he said this 200 years ago, you know, a lot of people go to hell as a result of reading impious books.
Yeah.
Imagine today with the ability of the internet and all the other stuff to be able to read not only read, but visualize and see. Number seven, I will try to eliminate most television viewing from my life, for it wastes my time and teaches secular, worldly, trashy values. And most television viewing destroys virtue in children and adults. In other words, everything in moderation. And don't, especially, don't listen to the fake news anymore. Unplug from that. Yeah. Find another source, but don't listen to the fake news. I'll type my sources, the go-to sources. Generally Catholic, okay? Church Militant's putting on a really good analysis every night on the elections. Phenomenal. Professional. But the non-Catholic ones that I'll listen to are, I listen to Newsmax and One American News Network and The War Room with Steve Bannon. Those are the three that I go to access from non-Catholic sources, and I find them to be in line with my Catholic faith.
Next point, I will pray for my priests, bishops, ministers, and deacons, clergy, and all religions. Religious of all types, because they are the main targets of Satan and his demons. If you think you're being targeted, it's like, you know, police have a target on their back, but think about priests. Priests have a target on their back for Satan because they're bringing the sacraments to us. They're in persona Christi. They stand in place of Christ up there on the altar. So,
yeah, Ruben, literally, Father Bill Casey said, as soon as a priest puts on a chasuble And, you know, a lot of chasubles have like an X on the back, like the yeah. Greek X or the Latin X on the back. Mm-hmm. As soon as a priest puts on a chasuble, Father Bill Casey says, a priest now has a target on his back by Satan.
That's right.
He's literally a wanted man. He's targeted. And again, Our Lady told us in Our Lady of Good Success, Our Lady of La Salette, Our Lady of Akita, Japan, the devil's going after our priests, so we have to protect them. And the way we protect them is by putting just surrounding them with prayer. That's called putting a hedge of protection around them.
Just
number nine, yeah.
Yeah, I was just also going to say that that's why. You know, a priest used to tell me, you know, he used to say, hey, you know, people have to dress modestly, especially women, dress modestly, because the last thing you want is the devil to be putting bad thoughts in the priest's head as he's distributing communion when he's, you know, women come in with low-cut tops or tight clothing. And guys could also bring scandal, too. So you got to you dress for church as if you're, you know, you're going to see the King of Kings. And
because you are.
Yeah.
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 Point number nine. I will take better care of my body and the bodies of my family, for the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. And I will try to understand that good, sensible, moderate nutrition is virtuous and it helps to defeat the deadly sin of gluttony. We all got to check that box. We all can improve in that area, every single one of us. And I think one guy that really is a good example of that, Ruben, is our friend Fred Cross. I just saw some pictures of him the other day. And I'm like, yeah, for 50 years old, he's definitely taking care of his body.
He's going to get on you now because he's not 50, Jess.
Oh, I thought he was 50. Okay.
He's
all
like
right.
45 or something.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Okay, so he's not like old guys like us. He's
got 30. It. 10 more.
Number 10, I will try to understand that the seven deadly sins of pride, envy, lust, covetousness, anger, sloth, and gluttony are the main reasons for all of the sinfulness in the world. A Catholic should allow Jesus to be born again in our hearts every Christmas. Jesus Christ being born in a manger should remind us to prepare some room for Jesus in our hearts, in our minds, in our homes, in our souls. It's time for all mankind to repent, for we have all sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, Matthew 5:9. Mm. So those are some good points to and resolutions to make. If you can, sign up for a holy hour. I'm going after the show right now to do a holy hour. And there you could talk to Jesus, you know, and tell him, lay all your problems on the line.
That's
I have
right.
two friends in the hospital right now, a deputy that, well, he's now a sergeant that used to work for me. He's got underlying conditions, and his kidneys have failed him. I've got COVID, and he's on a ventilator. And then one of my secretaries from East LA, our narcotics secretary, Loretta, she's also oxygen levels are low, and she's on a ventilator. So, you know, if we keep them in our prayers.
Amen. Well, let's pray for them right now, Ruben. Just go ahead and lead us for both of them.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask you to heal and bless those servants of yours, Jamie Arakawa and Loretta Marietta, heal them from the world's contagion, and pray for their families that they may get consolation, and that they may be out of the hospital in no time, and honoring you and reverencing you, Lord, for you are the great physician. We ask all this in Jesus' holy name, amen. Through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen.
Amen. You know what? Let me just, my final thoughts for the year is this. Remember, life is a preparation for eternity. Remember those words. Yeah. Life is the preparation for eternity. And God's not really so interested in building up your body, okay? He's interested in building up your soul. Mm-hmm. He's interested in making you holy, okay? And don't neglect the body. That's not what I'm saying. But he's more interested in building up your soul. And one of the easiest ways to get rid of the pain is to get your focus off of yourself and think about God suffering on the cross or other people suffering. And it'll put your suffering in perspective, like the two people Ruben are talking about right now. Remember also, live your life with eternity in mind, because what we do in this life will echo in eternity. And, the Christian life is simple. It really is. Do your duty in your state in life until the Lord calls you to the judgment seat. And what's your, I don't care what you're doing, what job you have, what task you have, single, married, whatever you're doing, do it with love. Do it with a heart full of love. Do it with a heart full of faith. Do it because you love God. Offer it to God. And also, the last thing I'll say is this, for those people that will die this year, remember, if you die in a state of grace, you win. Mm-hmm. It's sheer victory. You may have to go through purgatory, but you can't do anything to a man who looks at death as a positive option.
That's right. All right. You heard it. It's our last show of the year. You guys have a safe New Year's Eve. Give glory to God. And, you know, let's usher in the new year, 2021. Let's make sure that we do it right. And stay close to the sacraments and our Holy Rosary, Our Lady, and the saints. We appreciate all your patronage on this station. We ask you to if you like, share it. And stay tuned for Hands On Apologetics with Gary Mishuda. We are out. We're 10-7.
Out.
God bless you. Keep the faith.